I like having to move up on the stage because the church is so full, and I'll add benches in the front row so you can sit up even closer next week. And I can move to the back of the stage. I just want to welcome you all again this morning. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Isn't it good to take a little time of the week out of the busyness of your schedules to come together and just praise the Lord? We don't get much time to do that. And we need to do that. And I'm challenged again in my reading of the Scripture and in the Lord challenging me. I'm challenged to be a Jonah today. And that's why the title of today's message is Dare to be a Jonah. And we're going to look at the book of Jonah, and you can turn there if you like. We're not going to focus on the fish and the belly and the storm and all that stuff. We're going to focus on Nineveh. But before we do, I want to share with you something that I read again this week. You know, I like to read statistics, and I like to know about figures and stuff. And I read in the Barna group once again that they did a poll of born-again believers. You know, I told you a while back they did a poll of Americans, and they found that about 30% of Americans call themselves born again. 33 tops, right in there. And so the Barna group also polled those that said, I am born again, and 75% of those in that category could not define the Great Commission. And so today I thought we would start by looking at the Great Commission. So we are not amongst the 75% that says, I don't know what it is. The Great Commission is found in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. And Tim is going to put that on the big screen in just a minute. And we're going to read it together. So we are aware of the Great Commission. You see, followers of Christ, we've been commissioned. We've been challenged by God Himself. We've been challenged by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is our prerogative, our responsibility, our obligation to go, therefore, and make disciples of the nations. So, Tim, have you got it for me, brother? I'm going to read for you 18, and we're going to read 19 and 20 together. 18 says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Now let's read 19 and 20 together. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Go back to 19, Tim. And so, this is what the Great Commission is. This is what the people of God are about. "Go, therefore," Jesus said, "and make disciples of the nations." Get her done is what we talked about last week from Revelations 3:8. Go, people of God, and tell the world about Jesus. Because if the church of God isn't going to tell the world about Jesus, then who's going to? And so let me remind us today, we could be here from a number of different churches, and that's okay, that's good. But let me remind you, Church of God, wherever you're normally worshiping, and this church here, we exist for one reason. We exist for one reason, and that is to reach people for Jesus Christ. It is to reach the lost and the hurting world for Jesus. Yes, of course, there's many things in here in the Word of God that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love the Lord and love our neighbor and all these things, bear one another's burdens and all these things. But we exist for one reason, and that is to reach the lost world for Christ. Amen? Amen. That's why we exist. The Great Commission. Go, therefore, and teach the nations about Christ. Tell them the good news of Jesus. And so that brings us to where we're going to go today. Last week, you know that I was talking about the open door from Revelation 3:8 that God has set before the church. "I have set before you an open door," He said, "that no man can shut." He has given us the opportunity, the opportunities in everyday life, an open door to tell the world about Christ. And today we're going to look at the Old Testament example of Jonah, just one little old example of what happens when God's people see the open door and God's people take the challenge that says, "Go, therefore, and tell the world. We're going to see one example. We're going to look at Nineveh and Jonah this morning. And so before we embark on that, let me ask you a couple questions to ponder while we're looking at it. Number one, what open door has God set before you? How is God challenging you? Who is He challenging you to tell about Christ? Who does God want you to minister to? Who does He want you to love and share Christ with? Are you running the other way like Jonah did at first? Are you buying the first ticket out of here when Jesus has called you to minister to your neighbors, your co-workers, your peers, whatever it is? Will you be willing to go no matter where when He calls? Will you be willing to obey no matter what God is calling you to do? Because for the Christ follower, remember, life is not about you and I. That's what Warren said in his book. Life, it's not about you. But more importantly, that's what Jesus said when He said, deny yourself daily, take up the cross and follow Me. Life is not about me anymore. It's about my worshiping the Lord, my connection with Him. And then it's about that command we just saw, go therefore. What is God calling you to do? What open door has He placed before you? What Nineveh has He called you to? It might be across the street. It might be your employees. It might be your co-workers. It might be your family. What Nineveh has God called you to do? Let's look at Jonah chapter 1 just for a little setting. I think you're very well aware of what the book of Jonah says, but let me give you a little setting. Jonah chapter 1 verse 1 says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before Me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and he went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You know the story. You know about the fish. You know about the roaring waves. You know about the sea. You know about them throwing everything out in an effort to save Jonah's life. And finally they pitched him into. You know about that. You know about being in the belly for 3 days and crying out again to God, from the belly of the fish. But today I want to focus on what happens when we listen to God. Today I want to focus on what happens when the churches of America get serious in their pursuit of the Almighty and are obedient to the Master. Jonah chapter 3 in your Bibles. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Sometimes are you worried about what you're going to say? What is the Lord telling Jonah here? I got the words to tell you. You don't worry about that part. So I wonder sometimes, what is that message that Jonah had to tell Nineveh? Go and preach to it the message that I tell you. I suspect by reading through the rest of chapter 3 and reading through chapter 4, I suspect it had something to do, said something like this, perhaps like John the Baptist standing on the banks of the Jordan, yelling across at the Pharisees and saying, repent! I suspect Jonah's message had something to do with that. I suspect he shouted to them, repent! Because God's hand will wipe you out in 40 days if you don't. Because they knew they had a time limit. They knew they had to make some changes. So I don't know what he said, but I suspect it was something like, turn to God now or it's going to be too late. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was on an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. And he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So we know that's some part of the message. You've got 40 days and you're toast, he told them. Repent, I suspect he said, and come to God or you're toast within 40 days. I don't know if they recognized Jonah. I don't know if they knew he was a Jew, a prophet, or anything else. But I know one thing about Nineveh. They did not know God. And yet here comes this guy. Here comes this guy coming into their midst, milling around the town. It was a great city. 3 days it would take him to wander around all these places in Nineveh. And he was shouting out to them, repent. God is real. And God is coming in 40 days to destroy you if you don't come to Him. I don't know if they recognize Him, but I know one thing. They recognize His message. Because look at verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. These were not godly people. And what did they do? They proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the kings and his nobles, saying this. And here's what he said. Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. And look at what this ungodly people said. This ungodly king who didn't look to God for his direction at all. Look what he said. And cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way. That's called repentance. Repentance, he told the people of Nineveh. And from the violence that is in his hands. Because he said in verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Sounds mighty familiar to me. 2 Chronicles 7:14 that says, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, sounds awful familiar to me. And look at verse 10. Then God saw their works. He saw their hearts. He saw what they were doing, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that He had said He would bring upon them, and He did not do it. Point number one for us today, brothers and sisters of Christ, what Nineveh is God calling you to? You say, Jim, that's your job. Yes, that's true, it is, but it's not just mine. You come in contact with people that nobody else will that can tell them about Christ. You have family here or far that needs to know about Christ. What Nineveh is God calling you to? It is not just the pastor's job to tell people about Christ. It is our job. Go, therefore, and tell the nations. There is somebody, somewhere, something that you are aware of that God needs you to do for His kingdom and for His glory. You've tried to suppress it. You've tried to rationalize. I've been there too. Jonah's been there. But God is calling you to some Nineveh. He's calling us, followers of Christ, to go therefore and tell the world about Jesus. Jonah didn't give a hoot about the people of Nineveh. He didn't give a hoot about their salvation. Matter of fact, he couldn't have cared less if God toasted them on the spot. They were murderous, idol-worshipping, devil-following Gentiles that were typically at odds with the children of Israel. And in time, in 722 precisely, the capital of Nineveh, or the capital city that Nineveh was of Assyria, was just part of those that would carry away Israel into captivity. Jonah didn't know that. All he knew was them as pagan, idol-worshipping, murderous, bloody people that God should deal with. But Jonah was a man of God. And God called him into action. He said, go to that city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message that I give you. And God has given you a message to tell somebody in your circle too. Jonah didn't care about their salvation. And sometimes I wonder today if the church in America cares about our neighbor's salvation either. You say, Jim, that's a little harsh. 33%, according to a Barna poll, of Americans claim to be born again. That leaves 67% available, and perhaps more. He didn't care about their salvation. And sometimes I fear the church in America, the church perhaps in the world, doesn't care about our neighbor's salvation either. I heard the word this morning in Sunday school class, self-centered. I think that might apply. We get too self-centered. We're thinking about self. We're hung up on me-isms and some other word, I can't remember what, it was something like stuff-itis or something. We get hung up that way in the church in America, I fear. But listen to me close now. I believe that God is calling His people. Are you a follower of Christ? I believe that God is calling His people to action right now. I believe that God is calling followers to the Ninevehs of your community, to the Ninevehs in your life. I believe that God is calling His people to call others to repentance and salvation in Christ before it's too late. And I'm wondering, are we listening? Are we listening, brothers and sisters of Christ? Doesn't matter the denomination we come from. If we're a follower of Jesus Christ, He says, therefore, go therefore and make disciples of other people. I believe that we as individuals have a choice to make. I know He's calling us into action. That I know. And I believe we have a choice to make. Either we run and go our own way like Jonah did. We buy the first ticket out of Dodge and get on to Tarshish. And we rationalize in ourselves, God, there's got to be somebody better than me. Or we make excuses, I'm not qualified, I'm not educated, whatever it is. But I believe that God is calling His people today to the Ninevehs of our society, the Ninevehs of your circle, the Ninevehs in your lives, and we have a choice either to do what Jonah did the first time, and he got by easy, by the way. He ended up just in the belly of the whale, alive. Or we have the choice, to, like I said last week, to with this open door set before us, to go and get it done. As followers of Christ. The world is never going to be evangelized until followers of Christ start evangelizing. Notice the things that Nineveh did when they got a chance to be evangelized to. Notice the things that this ungodly heathen people did. Fast, pray, repent, call urgently on the Lord God, turn from their evil ways, and wait in repentance with repentant hearts and fast waiting, and maybe God will relent and turn from this disaster that He has declared upon us. This is what Nineveh did. And I wonder sometime, is the church doing any of it? Are we fasting for people's souls? Are we praying for people's souls? Are we repenting? Yes, we need repentance in the church. Are we calling mightily unto God, saying, God, I can't do this by myself. We need You. We need Your Spirit. Is the church of God taking an example from Nineveh here today and saying, let us fast and pray and repent and call urgently upon the Lord and see what the Lord does? God is looking for people in the church today to humble themselves and repent and pray. God is looking for people in the church today to reach out across the highway or the assembly line or the street or whatever it is to our neighbors and tell them the good news about Jesus. God, you know what, is willing to save. He saved Nineveh, this wicked city. God, in His grace, is willing to save. And I'm wondering sometimes, and I'm praying that the church is willing to go. God is willing to save, and He needs people to tell people about Jesus. That is you and I, brothers and sisters. That is us to go, therefore, and make disciples. And I ask myself this, and I ask you today, when was the last time that you fasted and prayed for someone's salvation? When was the last time you cared that much about their eternal destination? I'll tell you what, Jonah wasn't doing any of it either. He wasn't fasting and praying for no Ninevites. But God has called His people, us, followers of Christ. He has called us to humble ourselves and fast and pray, and maybe then the world, the city, America, will see the kind of revival that they saw in Nineveh. This was not a godly people in Nineveh. And yet they fasted and prayed and repented and called mightily on the Lord. I wonder, when was the last time we did that? Fasted and prayed, repented and called mightily on God for someone else. I fear too often times we're like Jonah. Even after he went. I fear too often times we've come up with excuses like Jonah did prior to going and after seeing the hand of God. Look what he said in verse 1 of chapter 4. You know what the last verse in chapter 3 says. We just read it. And he did not do it. He didn't toast them like he said he was going to. Verse 1, chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. What displeased him? That they didn't get toasted. And look at what he said. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Can you see what he's saying? He's angry because people have come to Christ. It displeased him greatly, the Bible says. You know what he's saying? "God, you made me look bad. You told me to take this message on to the old Ninevites. I took it. I told them they're toast in 40 days, and you ain't toasting them. You made me look bad. You may as well kill me on the spot." And I wonder sometimes about us, do we have that same thought process? Are we rationalizing and saying, "God, well, you're going to do what you do anyway"? Or do we get angry at God's grace towards people? That's what God's grace is, extended towards people. You pick the topic. You pick the nightly news channel. You pick the discussion. There's all kind of ungodly things going on. But God's grace is extended to that, just like it was the Ninevites. And I ask us in the church today, do we do well to be angry at God's grace towards people? God's grace was extended to me. And I trust He was extended to lots of, and maybe all of you. Wicked is apart from God. Sin has separated us from God. Do we do well to be angry when God's grace is extended out to another? Nay, we should rejoice as the angels in heaven rejoice. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Do we make excuses like Jonah did and said, "Well, God, you're gonna make it happen anyway. You don't need me." Well, He wouldn't have called you, Jonah, if He didn't need you. He wouldn't have called us, brothers and sisters, if He didn't need us to go to some Nineveh. Or do we use this classic? I know that Jonah felt this. Do we use this classic? "Well, God, they really could use a little punishment. Really could use a little judgment. They really deserve to be dead. Eternally judged." What are the excuses that the church is using today to not tell the good news of Jesus? Are we aware that the fact of this mega city of 120,000 plus people experienced revival and came to repent before God and know Him? The whole city. How do we know? How do we know that maybe God wants to send revival among us? Maybe He wants to send revival among our towns, our cities, our nation. How do we know that maybe God wants to send revival now? But we ain't running to Nineveh. We're running to Tarshish. We're not headed towards the battle. Paul, Peter, James, John, they didn't talk about no picnic in the Christian life. They talked about the battle. But the battle belongs to the Lord. And we've got to start running to Nineveh instead of running away from Nineveh. How do we know that God doesn't want to send revival to America right now just like He did Nineveh? We've just got to listen to the voice of God and obey. Last week I mentioned to you a couple of people, unexpected deaths that I was made aware of. Matter of fact, I had to do a funeral. Now this week we've seen unexpected death again amongst young people, what we would call, classify as young people. Strange deaths, getting crushed by hay bales. We don't have any guarantee of tomorrow, nor does our neighbor, nor does our family. And where is the church of God today? Where are we when it comes to this great commission that says, go therefore and make disciples? Where's the church? When people are dying all around us, I told you this statistic some time ago. You know how many people die in the world a week? Between the time we go home now and the time we come back next Sunday morning, you know how many people are going to die in the world? Over 1 million. 150,000 people are dying a day. They're going to eternity. Many have not had a chance to know about Christ. Why? Because the church is silent. The church is not running to Nineveh when He's calling us to go. He has a Nineveh in your vocabulary. He has a Nineveh in your sights. Will you listen to the voice of God? Will we, the church, hearken to the voice of God that says, when He said to Jonah, now He came to him the second time, and I got the message for you to tell him. Will we listen, brothers and sisters, to the dying world around us? How many opportunities are we going to get to share Christ's love with people before another one is gone, or another two, or another family, or another city is gone? How many opportunities are we going to get to share Christ's love with people and we turn the other way and we went to Tarshish? How many times are we silent when God is nudging our heart to say something to our neighbors who are lost or have lost their way in life? I used the analogy a while back of this little candle burning right in front of me. Is our light shining for Christ? Or are we too, I'll use that word they used again this morning in Sunday school, self-centered to care? Is our light burning brightly for Jesus? God has given you a Nineveh and me. He has given me a lot of them. Are we going to say something to those people that God wants to save? I was challenged in some reading this week again. How many people, this challenged me, and I can answer it, but how many people have you led to the Lord this year as followers of Christ who have the key, who have the answer, who have the Messiah, who have the Spirit of God? How many people have we led to the Lord? You say, Jim, this year isn't very old. Well, how many people did we lead last year? How many people is the church of God leading to Christ? Or are we making excuses like Jonah and leaving them to their own future? I cannot express to you the urgency of eternity. It's coming. It's coming. I read in Ezekiel, and I'm going to close now, but I read in Ezekiel how God told Ezekiel specifically in chapter 3 and then later, if you tell the evil man something, you've given him a chance. But if you say nothing, Ezekiel, their blood's on your hands. And Jeremiah's words in Jeremiah chapter 8, these lamenting words, this lamentation of his before they were carried away to Babylon. He said in Jeremiah 8, verse 20, the harvest is past and summer is ended and we are not saved. The children of Israel he was speaking about. They were headed to doomsday. He wept and he preached and he lamented over them for 40 years and tried to get them to repent and come back to God. And he concluded this, the harvest is past, the summer is over, and we are not saved. And neither is humanity as a whole today. And he goes on to say, for the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. Is the church hurt today? For the lostness of souls. I am mourning, Jeremiah said. I am in mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. And he asked the question, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no doctors there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? Where is the church today, brothers and sisters? Are we alive and well? Are we listening to the call of God? Are we listening to go to Nineveh? We have been commissioned, followers of Christ. We have been commissioned. And it is up to us to tell the world about Christ. And maybe we're here today and we're not even sure if we know Christ ourselves. We're going to sing a song here in a minute. But you got to ask yourself, am I ready to go to heaven today? Because of Christ and what He's done in my life, He's washed my sin away. I've invited Him in. Am I ready for heaven if it comes today? This man, this friend of mine and friend of yours, he didn't plan on getting crushed by no hay bales on Wednesday either. We don't have no guarantee of being here next Sunday. Have you repented of your sin and invited Christ to take hold of your life? Jess, are you going to play? Let's come. If you're not sure you know Christ today, if you're not sure you'll be in heaven tomorrow, if today, if this is it, please call upon the name of the Lord today. Please come to Him with repentance and said, God in heaven, I repent before You. I've been in sin and I've been doing things my own way. I need Christ. Please come into my life and be born again. And Church of God, if you've been born again, He's commissioned us. He's commissioned us.